Hi, this is Denise, and welcome to Mommy's Guide to Happy Hour. Today, we're going to be talking about dating, marriage, and being a step-parent and IVF. I'm so excited because I'm doing my very first podcast live. Well, not live, but in person, and I'm so happy. And my guest mom is Lindsay, and we are, guess what, going to drink. Cheers, Lindsay, and welcome. Before we get started, our hashtag Mommy's Drink of Choice is, I'm sorry folks, not Prosecco today, but we're doing a nice Sauvignon Blanc, and we are doing it outside on my deck, so if you hear birds, cars, there's really nothing I can do about it, but it is just so exciting to be face-to-face with a person while I am actually doing my podcast, so thank you so much. I'm going to have a drink now. So the reason I asked Lindsay on the podcast today is I wanted to get a different perspective and a different take on what it is like to be a single, fun woman in your late, mid-30s. Going from that to finding a wonderful man and start dating him and find out that he is a daddy. So what was that like for you? Just tell me a little bit about dating him and then when you met his daughter and how old she was.
Okay.
Dish a little.
I knew right away Dan had a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We met via Tinder. I was, I guess, a serial dater.
Okay.
I've been single for about 10 years.
Okay.
Dating around.
That's fine. I enjoy that.
Dan had been married for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, out of the scene.
Yeah, so...
I'm surprised he knew how Tinder worked.
Oh. I had been on a series of really bad dates when I came across his profile, and everything about it was a red flag. And I tease him today.
So, just give me an example.
His profile was, separated, not getting back together, have a daughter, she's my number one.
Oh.
And it was like, his pictures were like selfies in a mirror. So like...
Shirt on or off?
I think shirt was on.
Okay, good.
But it was one of those things for somebody that had been on Tinder and dating apps for a couple of years.
Right.
It was like, what a tool.
Right.
I showed it to my girlfriend.
Oh my God.
And they're like, He doesn't know. And I was like,
he could be the unicorn. That show. Have you ever? He's the unicorn.
One of those things that if he was a normal single guy, I would have never swiped right.
So then why did you?
He was hot. And I'm like, you know what? I have nothing to lose. Like,
this is true.
I've been on a date where a guy yelled at me over political views, and me being my moronic self stayed there because I finished my drink, he still had his drink, and I just stayed there and let him yell at me till he finished his drink because I didn't want to be rude. But it was just like,
oh my God.
I just had such a bad dating experience where I'm like, he's hot, I got nothing to lose.
Right. And it's a drink. You know, everybody has 30 minutes, 10 if it's not good, that excuse to go to, oh my God, what happened? You know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've been there. So that's funny. All right, so you met him on Tinder, you went out on one date, and then...
We went out on one date, and I was smitten.
Okay.
He is from Iowa.
Okay.
He is a Midwestern, and he's just so kind.
Mm-hmm.
Where at first I thought he was making fun of me, and I struggled for first few dates.
Right.
Because I didn't realize he was just that nice.
Well then, how did you think he was making fun of you?
I just thought he was being almost like snarky. Like,
okay.
That's not really explaining it well.
Right.
Like,
did he act like he cared about what you were saying?
Yeah, true.
Okay. Right, he was asking... He was asking you
genuine,
about you.
Just being
right.
Genuine
right.
And not.
And you thought it was coming off like, not snarky, but I know what you mean. Just like condescending, maybe, or like cavalier about. Yeah,
it
okay.
I'm just not used to it. Mm-hmm. I left our first date like ecstatic, and he left thinking it was a dud.
Oh.
We had a total miscommunication.
Okay.
We went for sushi in the Wall Chapel Center.
Okay.
The date was so great. Mm-hmm. We're just chit-chatting it up. And I look around the restaurant. There's no one else there.
Okay.
The server, there's only one person there. A server left. Uh-huh. And they're sitting, playing on their phone, waiting for us.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean,
yeah, that's a good date.
It was great. It was great. But me being in the restaurant industry, I see I'm holding this person up. We've already bought our wine, our food. So I signal for the check.
Right.
He took that as me being like...
Like, you're done. This is over. We're done. Time's up. Thanks.
Right, right.
Thanks for playing.
So it took me, I think, like 2 days later, mm-hmm. I think I texted him like, so when are you going to take me out again?
Oh, okay. Nice ballsy move. I like that.
Yeah. So then we went to Lore's.
Okay.
And it was a great date. It was mm-hmm. another good one.
Now, is he talking about his daughter yet? Did he talk about her on the first date? Or
Yeah, we talked about Addie a lot on the first date. Mm-hmm. The second date, I think I was a bit more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Because you liked him.
I liked him.
Right.
But I was trying to find mutual ground. I was still apprehensive because of he was separated.
Mm-hmm. And how long had he been separated?
5 months.
Okay, well, that's still...
Or something like that.
Okay.
It was a short amount of time, but it was... I think they were separated, but he was sleeping in the basement for a couple months.
Okay, so he didn't bring you home.
He had his place when we went out.
Mm-hmm.
But I had had a previous relationship years ago with somebody that had been recently separated.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
Well, because you never know if they get back together. You just...
Yeah.
You never... And when there's kids involved, you never know. They might start dating and think, oh, this is... It's better together.
Well, see, my apprehension was my previous relationship. I didn't realize how... knew he was split up from his ex.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the relationship, it was just like he was taking everything from his wife and all that energy on me. Mm-hmm. It was awesome at the beginning. I felt like a princess.
Right.
But then once he got in the groove, he found himself, and then that's when we kind of split up.
Right. Right. So you didn't want to do that again.
So I didn't want to do that again.
Right.
So I felt like our second date was me more interrogating him about where he was.
Which is just what he wanted.
Right. So I left that date being very unsure.
Right. Did he say how he left that date? How he left the second date?
We had our first kiss on that one.
Oh, okay.
He was cute. He had too baggy of pants on. His jeans were too big for him. And I'm like, oh my God. My thought was like, I need to get him new jeans. And I just remember him, after our kiss, I was wearing wedges.
Uh-huh.
And Dan's like an inch or two taller than me, but with my wedges...
Right, you were kind of...
I was an inch...
You were right there.
An inch taller than him.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we did a little kiss at the car, mm-hmm. and then I just remember him sauntering back with his baggy jeans on, and I was like, he is so cute, but I need to get him new jeans.
That's cute. Yeah, they don't know how to dress, usually.
No, I think he was wearing, like, Wranglers, like, baggy Wranglers.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, he's so cute. Like, a guy from here just wouldn't...
No.
Do that.
No. And usually Wranglers are pretty tight, too. You know, those cowboys that wear those Wranglers.
Oh, yeah. These were, like, work Wranglers.
Okay.
But he was cute.
He was cute.
He was cute.
Well, good.
But, yeah, we talked a bunch about Addie. Mm-hmm. That second date was when I told him I wanted kids.
Okay. So he knew that you were open to children.
I told him that I'm having children.
Okay. Which is... here's the thing. If we were in our 20s, that might not be a conversation we want to have on our second date. But as us being older women, coming up in age, it's a conversation I think that needs to be had earlier. Because say you're 3 months down the road and then you're telling him, hey, if this develops into something and I want a child and he's done because his is so old, that's a deal breaker.
And that was really important to me. I've mm-hmm. always known I wanted mm-hmm. to have children. I'm from a big family.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that time I had 11 nieces and nephews.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm very tight with.
Right.
You know, I always had them over for sleepovers.
Right.
I'm the aunt that traveled.
Right, the fun aunt. Right.
I traveled to wherever they were, and I watched the kids while the parents went away.
Right.
And that was my role.
Why didn't I know you were here years ago? So Lindsay has lived down the street. So I moved here in 2006. I bought the house in 2006. When did you move into the neighborhood? Were you already here?
2009.
2009. So I had my first child in 2009. Why did I not know? If I knew you were down the street, I would have dumped my kids off. And you could have played with them or done whatever. I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Damn it, I miss my window. Now my kids and Addie will hopefully be watching one of yours, maybe.
Yeah.
So...
I think that would be awesome.
So that's good. So then you were talking to him about that early on. That you And what was his... did he...
That date, he just... Okay.
Right.
He just took it in. Mm-hmm. And then it was actually... I don't know how much later. I think it was maybe a month or so later, he finally told me he had a vasectomy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that threw me for a loop.
So the interesting thing was he didn't know how to tell you at that moment when you said you wanted to have children. And he probably was thinking, this may or may not go anywhere, so why tell her just yet?
Yeah.
Let her really like me first.
Yeah, I don't remember the time frame on him.
Did he just come out? Like, were you having dinner one day and he just said, you know what, Lindsay?
I don't remember.
Don't remember.
So he was just he's just an honest guy.
Right.
So
it had probably been on his mind that whole entire time.
Yeah. So I just remember him telling me and telling me that he is up for having kids with me.
Right. So did he? You can get a reverse.
You get a reversal.
I don't know how that works.
So yes, you can do a reversal. So vasectomy itself is a very minor surgery.
Mm-hmm.
They just go in, they burn it, and then they sew you back up.
Okay.
Whereas the reversal is a major surgery.
Okay.
And it takes 2 years to know if it works.
Okay.
So
wow. Okay.
With us, mm-hmm. even before we were engaged,
right?
When I knew how much I liked him and that we were serious, mm-hmm. we actually went to Shady Grove to find out options.
Right.
Just that I just needed a timeline.
Right.
I needed to understand if children could be in my future.
Right. Or if you have to do it a different way.
Right.
No, and I get you because when I was dating my ex-husband, he is a couple years younger than I am. And he knew he wanted children and I wasn't sure if I did. And I was 35 or 36. And decided to, there's a test that you can take to see if I'm still producing eggs and I can still get pregnant. And how long I have, well, not how long I have, but, you know, what's a good timeline if I want to get pregnant? So we did all that and we weren't engaged. We hadn't really talked about marriage yet, but I knew that was something he wanted. And he did tell me it was a deal breaker if we didn't have children. And when you're 36, 35, 36, and you're kind of...
reaching the age.
You're reaching that age. I hate to say that. That's such a young age. But you're reaching the age. I wanted to know because he was only 32, 33, you know. And he said he wanted to have children when he was 35. And I'm like, well, I would rather be pregnant at 35 than you be pregnant when we're 35. You know, me be pregnant when you're 35. But so I get that. You have to see kind of what's in the cards and how much time you have to play with. So.
Yeah. It was definitely... interesting.
Yeah. I bet. Well, so, all right. So you're dating. It's been how long before you meet the daughter?
We waited about 6 months.
Oh, you did?
We waited a long time.
Okay.
We just, both of us felt that mm-hmm. talking through what's mm-hmm. been going on, that Addie had been through a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I just... you know, I love kids, and
right.
it was one of those things. I wanted to make sure I was good,
right.
that Dan was, that this was
right.
serious.
You weren't going to meet her, and then a month later, you were going to be gone.
So then,
no, I get it.
We scheduled to meet. We were going rock climbing.
Okay.
I pretty much had a panic attack in my car.
I'm sure.
Waiting at the place for mm-hmm. them to arrive, mm-hmm. where I am absolutely freaking out, mm-hmm. nearly hysterical,
mm-hmm.
wishing that I had wine before I went.
Right.
called my sisters. None of my sisters were available. My sister-in-law wasn't available, so I ended up calling my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother is the one that calmed me down.
Good. Okay.
Which is like, you know.
Right.
You don't expect a male to be like.
Right. The calming factor in a kid situation.
So he calmed me down, and as I'm talking to him, still freaking out, I think Dan knocked on my window. And I screamed and startled. And then Addie looked at me like I had four heads.
Right.
But it was a great little fun activity and a mm-hmm. great way to meet her, where I felt that she would have been, and she was,
right.
comfortable
mm-hmm.
and not like all eyes on her.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because I never thought about it when I was dating. And, you know, when my husband and I first separated, the kids were 4 and 6. So I had a 4-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy at the time. And I never thought about that, what that would be like, bringing a man into that situation and introducing them to my kids, and just how that person would feel. I thought about my perspective, like, who do I want to introduce my kids to, but not the nervous end. And I never, all the people that I dated during my separation, or the one person that I dated the majority of the time, didn't have any children. So I didn't have that, you meet my kids, I'll meet your kids. It wasn't until the relationship that I'm in now that I had somebody that had children, and his children are 10 years older than mine. So I remember when I met his youngest, he came over for my kids' birthday party, of all things. And my kids were turning 5 and 7. Or, no, wait, that's not right. She was 4 or 5. 6 and 9. 6 and 9, I think it was. And he had his youngest son come over. And I was a nervous wreck, because he was a teenage boy. I didn't know what I was going to say. I thought it was brave of him to walk into a party where he didn't know anyone and knew his father was dating someone, and then he sees these two little kids that I'm throwing a party for. So I think that whole, I was a nervous wreck that day.
It's so funny that you're scared of a child. I was scared.
Well, because I want, you know, you want them to like you, because it does. It affects the relationship. And, you know, even now, I want my children to like Brad, and they do, but you never know. And as they get older, it gets harder. Now, luckily, they were a little younger. You know, if they were 14 and 16,
yeah.
Ooh, those are hard ages.
Yeah.
14-year-old daughter
no.
is a hard daughter when she's your own, let alone when she's not. But I will say, and I say this to him all the time, he's so cute, because he is different between boys and girls, and he does it with the dogs. We have 2 girl dogs and 1 boy dog. Now, when the boy dog does something, he's stern and very angry with the boy dog. But when the girl dogs do it, it's, oh, you know, it's very different. And when my son gets a little, you know, boys can be irritating. They make noises. They don't realize things that they're doing. They're not paying attention. And so when my son does something like that, it's more, come on, let's go, get your stuff. You're not paying attention. But if my daughter does anything, it's more like, well, come on, let me help you. Let me sit down. What don't you understand about this problem in math or what have you? Where if he's trying to help my son do math, come on, man, you're smarter than this. Why don't you have it by now? And it's just, it's a whole different, and because he has 2 boys, so this is his first dealing with a little girl. And you can just, I said, if you had a daughter, you would be wrapped. She would wrap you. And he's like, no, no, no. But so you don't know how the dynamics are going to go.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how your kids are going to react. So you had a good meeting, and
yeah.
Did you start doing more things with her after that, or how did you kind of start to build the relationship with her?
Yeah, we gradually, I believe, did something. So mm-hmm. they had 50-50 custody.
Okay.
Sunday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I gradually just started hanging out more with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was easy.
Okay.
At the beginning, I think I just love the attention.
Right. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And you're fun. And she's getting a different kind of female role model. And,
yeah, and I think her dad changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, once we started dating, I think Dan was happier.
Right.
I'm a little bit more adventurous.
Right. Well, yeah, you guys are never home.
Yeah, we do a lot more activities once
right.
I came in.
I'm sure when he had her, it was just like, you want to go to the movies? Yeah. You want to get some ice cream? Dads don't know what to do with their daughters. Like, I come from a divorced family, and my dad didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go? And he'd fall asleep at the movies. Like, he'd take me to a movie and fall asleep. Or bring your girlfriend. Bring a friend with you. So so they can keep you occupied.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, Dad. Everything was really good. Our hardest part at that first section was meeting Addie's friend's parents.
Oh, because they're used to them as a couple. Yeah, that can be hard. That can
I
be
mean,
hard.
That was another where mm-hmm. I freaked
yeah.
out.
Right.
But it was also, I didn't know the relationships mm-hmm. that they had with Dan's ex.
Right.
Where I felt like I was being spied on.
Right. No, I get that. I get that from my current relationship. Yeah, meeting the friends and, you know, they were married 20 years. They all went on vacation together. They all did things together. And here I am, a new person. And are they going back and saying, you know, whatever? So I get that.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Dating's not easy.
No, I feel, well, dating somebody with a child
is not easy.
It's not just mm-hmm. them.
No.
And that's the issue, is that everything you do mm-hmm. has various consequences.
Right.
And that's the hard part.
Well, and another challenge can be, too, just your little, not even an argument. I wouldn't even say argument is the right word. But the bickering, because you might not agree with something that's going on with the child or how the other parent is parenting. And it's hard. It's hard when your significant other gives you advice on how they feel you should be parenting when you see them parenting and it's not
what you had in mind.
Well, yeah, or they're not practicing what they preach, at least on my end, because we both had kids. So you don't want to hear their take and they don't want to hear my take.
Yeah.
And it can start a little, you know, and which has nothing to do with us as a couple or you as a couple, but you have that other little, those beans involved.
I mean, I feel like for us, we pretty much see eye to eye on most things.
Mm-hmm.
Our bickering tends to not necessarily deal with Addie, but it's the repercussions from her mom.
Right.
And the trickle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our disagreements lie. So we've been working on our communication
right.
on how
right.
to deal with
right.
that stuff.
Which kind of gets to my next question, which would be, so you guys have been married a little more than a year. Mm-hmm. So your year of marriage was really during the pandemic. So we're on lockdown. You're newlyweds. You have she's 10 at this point?
She, yeah, 10, just turned 11 in September.
Okay, so, yeah, so what was your first year of marriage like?
It was good. I mean, it was lots of new experiences.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, because you dated how long before you got married?
About a year and a half.
Okay.
A little less than that.
All right.
So we got engaged and then got married, what, 3 months later?
Oh, wow.
So
oh, good.
We had a real quick engagement.
Good for you. How'd you plan it that fast?
Well, it was one of those things where I'm like, I realized my college boyfriend mm-hmm. had proposed to me.
Right.
And I was like, this isn't right. Like, mm-hmm. I could have married him and been okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had long talks with my parents about it, mm-hmm. and I decided that wasn't
right.
for me.
You just knew, yeah.
I knew, and so through, you know, watching my siblings and their relationships mm-hmm. and my parents who have been married forever, And all the dating I did, I figured out what I wanted and what I didn't want.
Right.
So, you know, I finally met Dan, and he was amazing. We just clicked. It was meeting my best friend, something that just got me. That I just lost my whole train of thought.
Wine, Lindsay. See what happens when we do this in person and we're drinking.
What was I saying? So, yeah. Oh, so we just clicked.
Right.
And it was one of those things like, okay, I finally met the man of my dreams. Like, this is the guy that I want to marry. Why do I need to wait? Like,
well, I feel like when you're younger, you have a certain date in mind. So whenever you get, whenever someone proposes to you, and I wanted a June wedding. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think the younger brides are all about, I want, there's a certain date I wanted. There's a certain month I wanted. Because when I married my ex-husband, when he proposed, we were married within, I think maybe 5 months. We got married in April. Who gets married in April? Like, I didn't really care about it, but I will say the day we got married, it was 80 degrees that day because we got married outside here in Maryland. And it was 80 that day. So I got to have a beautiful outside wedding on the water. But it, you know, I can't even remember our wedding date because it was so random and it wasn't a significant number.
Oh.
I think it was, actually, I don't know. I never did. He knew, but I never did. But I think that when you know, you don't really care about that stuff. You just want to have, just want to get married to the person.
I didn't really care. My little sister had gotten married 10 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
9 years prior.
Right.
And she had pretty much a Pinterest board for my wedding. Since her wedding. It was like everything she couldn't do for her wedding.
Right, she wanted it for your wedding. Right.
I didn't really care.
Right.
So we got married in a barn in Davidsonville, Timberlake Farms, which
is I love Davidsonville, yeah.
I had food trucks because I didn't want to worry about things. I was like, I just
Didn't have dinner. We just did heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Really?
Open bar and heavy hors d'oeuvres. Because I didn't care about eating.
Mine, I just wanted it to be, we both just wanted it to be a party and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we hear from all our friends, they said it's the best party they've ever been to.
Right.
We feel like we missed a lot of it, but.
Yeah, you always do.
It was great. So yeah, so we got married real quick. The first year has definitely been interesting. It was like my first year, we got married in September. So Addie just started school.
Okay. Dan, now, were you guys living together at all before then?
We got... So, Dan is the first man I've ever lived with. romantically. I've had male...
Yeah, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. That doesn't count.
But first... So, that had been a huge transition. So, they moved in about a month before the wedding.
Right.
And so, Addie had just started school.
Right.
We were getting into these new roles.
Right. That's a lot.
It's been a very... I think for us, for Dan and I, me not living with a man before, or like a dependent before was extremely difficult. Like the expectations that I think he just had that were normal.
Right.
I was oblivious to.
Right. Well, because he had been married. He had lived with the person. Like... There are certain things I don't want to do when my partner is in the house or in the vicinity of my area. You know what I mean?
I can't think of what... It was like we had one big thing. I just can't recall what it was. But it's me saying, this is all brand new to me.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing. And that's been my hardest thing through the pandemic is kind of... / first year marriage is kind of losing myself. I'm very social. I used to go out with my girlfriends all the time.
I can't believe we didn't know each other.
I know
we would have had so much fun. I mean, I love going out. I still love going out, and when we can go out again, you and I are doing happy hours. We are totally doing it.
I mean, I would go out 3 nights a week. Not necessarily partying out till 11,
right,
but going out for drinks. But I've always been very active. You know, I played lacrosse. I was on kickball teams.
Right.
Like, all the stuff. So, with everything going down, I haven't been able to do
anything.
Any of that.
And then, to boot, you've got a new husband coming in, a new daughter coming in, and everyone's together.
Yeah. So, I always call myself an insta-mom.
Right.
That
that's good.
Unlike others, like, I'm just picking it up. Like,
right.
Addie is just, you know, I have two nieces and a nephew that are Addie's age, which is awesome. It was basically, they were all instant friends.
Right. And her being an only child, it's like now she has...
She had like, 11 new cousins right off the bat, and Addie has absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a niece that's two, and a nephew. Danny is now going to be 23 next month.
Mm-hmm.
So she has this wide range of cousins that are all local that she just absolutely loves.
Which is good.
Yeah, so for her, I think that... we introduced her to my nieces and nephews pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
So my little sister's my best friend, and she has three boys.
Right.
And our oldest boy is Addie's age. So we'd hang out all the time. So I think that eased a lot of her stuff.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it's definitely not easy. And so you've gone through this past year of many, many changes, which, you know, just getting married is... enough right there, especially, you know, because you get used to... I was single for a long time, and you get used to it, and then you get married. I'm sorry, you get divorced. And then you get used to being alone again. And then I had to get used to it all over again when Brad moved in. You know, we're still getting used to each other. And, like, this week, he's on a nighttime schedule. So he's here during the day, and I don't like it. Sorry, honey. Like, you're in my way.
Yeah.
Like, I have my own routine, my own thing that I do. And, you know, now you're getting home a little late at night because of the job they're doing. And I am like, you know. And I left today just for, you know, I left to go get my hair done today. And I'm like, I'll see you tonight when you get home. And he's like, you won't be back before I leave. And I'm like, no, I won't. But I'll see you tonight. Did you make your lunch? Because I didn't make it yet. Because I'm thinking, you can make it. It's the daytime. I make it at night. But you've had all morning to make your lunch. So I don't think, you know, we're always getting used to each other. And I think even after you're married for so long, when you get a change in your schedule, or it just, you just never know.
That's our biggest thing, or one of my big things is my work.
Mm-hmm.
I work for family company, family's company.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
It's been hard right now.
Yeah, and I've always had freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd go to work at 10 and I wouldn't come home till like 9.
Right.
And now
you can't really
I can't really do that. Mm-hmm. And it's turning off work and figuring out the family time.
Right.
And, you know, being a commissioned salesperson, it's very hard when I get the phone calls from the customers and not being able to take it.
Yeah, I would still take it.
We're working on it.
I would still take it.
Working on boundaries.
Right. But he has to work on boundaries too. Like, it's your job. Like, does he want you to make money? Or
right.
Like, I have to take the call when... That is understood, because before all this happened with my business, there was a lot of golfing, there was a lot of evening events, there was a lot of happy hours, there was a lot of things that I did that Brad wasn't used to, and I'm like, these are things that
I considered work.
Right. Yeah. Yes, he does not consider it work. And I said, well, that is my job. When you're in business development, and this is my job, this is what I've, you know, been doing for over 20 years, and trust me, it gets me business when I'm building these relationships. And
that broke up a lot of my relationships before. When I was at a different company, I was in the bar division, so we would have mandatory bar crawls that we have to do because it was our brand,
right?
So we had to manage them, but people I dated didn't understand. They're like, oh, well, you're out
partying. No, I'm not.
No.
You know, my face hurts by the end of the day.
Right.
I don't always want to smile. And trust me, if you'd asked me if I want to go out with 5 of my girlfriends versus 5 colleagues, well, yeah, I would like to go out with my girlfriends sometimes more than the 5 colleagues that I, you know, so they don't, if you're not from that world, it looks like we're having a lot of fun. Even my ex-husband had a problem with it because he had a very strict schedule and I didn't. And I'm like, well, but this is what I do for a living. And this is what it is.
So very hard.
It is very hard. So you've been married for over a year and now you're working on having your own baby, you and Dan, starting your own family.
Yes.
So you did talk about him getting a reverse vasectomy.
Yeah, so we didn't go that route.
You didn't go that route. So explain to me then, as much as you want,
okay,
about what you're doing to now, for you and him to have a child on together.
Okay. So we started the journey before we were even engaged.
Okay.
We went to Shady Grove to find out our options. So there's, if we wanted biological children, we have two options for Dan. One is the reversal, but it would have taken 2 years.
2 years.
To see if it worked.
Right.
The other is, I forget the technical name. I just call it the extraction. So Dan had to have an extraction.
Okay.
So
wait,
much,
extracting the...
the goods.
Okay, the goods. Okay, so they still have the goods?
So we have vials of the goods frozen.
Okay. Oh. Really? So you, I didn't realize you could still have the goods after a vasectomy.
They're still there. They're still produced, but it's just as...
Okay.
Yep. The connection is no longer made to exit.
Okay. All right. So we're extracting. Ladies, I hope you have wine while you're listening to this.
So yeah, so we started right before we got married. We went to Shady Grove again. Scheduled Dan's surgery.
Okay.
And then we were starting IVF right from there.
Okay.
So now we're, what, a year, 3 months in?
Okay.
Like that? It's been a long time. So
for somebody that doesn't understand really the process.
Okay. So we both had to get a lot of testing done.
Okay.
We got a lot of genetic testing done.
Okay.
To make sure that our, I guess our DNA together wouldn't have any complications.
Yes, I get it. Because after a certain, like, with both my pregnancies, while I was pregnant, I had to have those tests done to make sure that the baby...
It's just making sure that also that we don't, we aren't both carriers of something.
Right.
So with that, I then started IVF. So with IVF, for me, the first round, it's lots of shots.
Right.
Lots of shots.
Lots of hormones.
Lots of hormones.
Right. How was your moods?
The first round, I was very lethargic, emotional,
which has to be a little bit of a strain on your relationship, because he's used to something, you know, it's your body's changing, you're going through hormone changes, your personality is a little different, he's trying to deal with it and be sympathetic. So I imagine...
Well, our first round, I think, went really smooth.
Okay.
Dan was extremely compassionate. We were both freaked out together.
Right.
We did a class together to show how to do the injections.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of mixing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a vial of powder and a vial of liquid, and you have to use all these different contraptions to mix them, and then you have to use a different needle to inject yourself.
Oh, God.
Certain injections go in your belly, certain go in your butt.
Right.
Certain times of the day.
Oh, wow.
You have to take them, like, you can't take certain medicines at the same time as you're taking the shot. So it's very...
It's a lot.
Yeah. So I did roughly 14 days of shots. Then you trigger. That's a big old shot in your booty. And then you go 48 hours after that, you go into surgery.
Okay.
My egg retrieval.
Okay.
So I went into surgery. I forget the first time. Maybe they got three eggs. They take them out, they put them in a petri dish, and then they mix inject it with Dan's goods.
Right.
None of our embryos made it.
Okay.
So that was round one.
Do they put them, after they do that, do they insert them back in you?
No.
So explain.
Typically, they inject them. They need to get to day three or five. Women that are doing a fresh transfer either do it day three or five. They have to grow to a certain stage. They look for a certain number of cells.
Okay.
And then once they hit theirs, typically a week later, they can implant them into the woman. Due to my age, our doctor recommended genetic testing on them.
Right.
So, you know.
Like I said, just with.
Because I'm more mature. Because
you're 35 and older.
I have increased risk of Down syndrome.
Right.
And other miscarriage, all that stuff. But unfortunately, the embryos that round didn't grow.
Okay. So each time you do it, are you doing it that way where they're taking your eggs and his goods and they're putting it in a petri dish first?
Yep.
Okay.
So I have done that now 6 times.
Wow.
I've had 11 cycles mm-hmm. where I've injected myself, and sometimes I don't get to the egg retrieval stage.
Because?
Like, this last time, my cycle was canceled this past Friday.
Okay.
Because I had one left over. They call them, your eggs are in something called a follicle.
Okay.
So your follicle releases the egg.
Okay.
So I had one rogue follicle.
Okay.
So they couldn't. So the part of the medicine that they inject me with,
mm-hmm.
they give me 2 different medicines. One is to keep me from ovulating.
Okay.
And the other is typically, I think your body produces typically 1 lead follicle, 1 egg a cycle.
Okay.
So I get medicine to keep me from ovulating.
Okay.
And to make them grow.
Okay.
Because our hope is that I get a whole bunch of follicles.
Right.
For a whole bunch of eggs. So in the surgery, there's women out there that get 36 eggs.
Wow.
On egg retrieval.
Right.
Where with my, what we found out,
uh-huh.
is I have 2 conditions, low AMH and DOR, which is like low ovarian reserve. So uh-huh. I don't have many eggs.
Okay.
And my eggs are shitty. Crappy.
You can cuss. You can cuss.
So that's what we found out later
right.
on, which then for me was a huge mental shift.
Right.
It was easier to blame Dan's yeah. decision.
Uh-huh.
So Dan had made his decision because his Addie's mom almost died giving birth to Addie.
Okay.
So that was, they made that decision.
Right. They didn't want to put her. Right.
So it was a lot easier to just cast blame that way.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we started getting these diagnoses for me,
you realized
it was hard.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. I could go on and on about the subject. I know.
No. It's
that's
just
the basic gist.
Right. Because I know that there's a lot of women out there that are going through the process, and I've known a few women that have gone through the process. And I just think it's an important subject to talk about because I know how much you'd like to have children. And have you thought about or have you discussed how many times you'll continue on? And if it doesn't happen, which I hope it does, I really do. But even if it doesn't happen, I really get a sense from you that if you went another route,
yeah,
you would, you're a wonderful mother to Addie. I don't even want to call you a stepmother because you're a wonderful mother to Addie, and I haven't even known you that long, but I just, when she comes up, she's just so lovely, and I'm the one that's getting ready to cry. And I think the things that you have done for her is, it's just so lovely that I think whatever you two decide and whatever journey you go on, I think you're going to be a wonderful mom.
Well, thank you.
Even if it is to Addie.
Yeah, no, I, the journey has been hard, and
right.
I've now feel like I'm extra granola and call it a journey.
Right.
And I do that just because you don't know anybody else's backstory.
I
have
right.
now had 2 friends of mine that I've semi-helped through their
mm-hmm.
situation, and they've gotten pregnant and already had their babies.
Right.
My one friend had her baby on Tuesday.
Right.
And so that has been difficult, but they each had their own journey.
Right.
Lots of miscarriages.
Right.
Other stuff that you
right.
don't know.
Right.
So it's like, for me, I can't necessarily judge. With us, we've had to make hard decisions. Our doctor told us after the first round that I should do donor eggs. And
okay.
I wasn't ready for that.
Right.
And Dan and I talked about it. And, we refinanced the house and pulled money out to be
mm-hmm.
able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be for IVF. And a remodel.
Right.
Only for IVF now.
Right. Right. Your house is so nice. You're good.
Thank you. But yeah, so after we had two rounds where the eggs, the embryos didn't make it to that growth stage. Mm-hmm. And then we finally had one that got to the stage mm-hmm. and got tested. Mm-hmm. And that gave us hope.
Right.
And then we had one good embryo.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that little glimmer mm-hmm. of hope. So then we had a couple bad rounds. Mm-hmm. And Dan and I decided that we would do, I think it was magic number 7 retrievals.
Okay.
So we made that decision, I think it was in October or mm-hmm. November.
Mm-hmm.
But then since then, I had kept on having failed cycles. Mm-hmm. So I never got to the retrieval.
Right.
So right now, like, hopefully next week, I will start the process for my next retrieval, mm-hmm. my next cycle, and hopefully it goes to
right.
retrieval.
Right.
It's just, when we had the actual embryo, just made me so excited. And then
right.
when we first got our first one back that mm-hmm. passed the testing, and that was a good embryo,
right.
it gives you hope.
Right.
I have actually reached out to family members about them donating their eggs.
I was going to ask you about that, but I don't know how that would be. How would they feel about, like, do you have, like, if you...
Yeah.
So...
my sister-in-law, she had offered.
Mm-hmm.
I have good friends mm-hmm. that had said that they would.
Mm-hmm.
My one girlfriend said that I could have hers, but they wouldn't be very athletic, so they wouldn't want them. I have 2 cousins close to my mm-hmm. age that I reached out to mm-hmm. them, but both were newly pregnant and hadn't told anyone.
Right.
My sister, she and her husband weren't comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was just, you know, I wanted a baby that looks like me. It's
right.
It's really, the whole process is just really difficult. If you haven't gone through it, you don't understand.
Right.
Like, one of the hardest things to hear for me is, at least you have Addie.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and I kind of...
No. And people say it as being comforting, and it is to a certain extent, but...
It's still not your own child.
I treat Addie like my own.
Right.
Like, people assume she's mine.
Right.
I am not a hands-off stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
I am on there.
Mm-hmm.
I am the mom that's licking my finger and rubbing the chocolate off her face.
Right.
Like,
right.
I drive that child insane.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell her I have just so much love
mm-hmm.
to give. I smother her.
Mm-hmm.
But... I have no decision-making power over Addie.
Right.
I can't choose anything for her.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely love for Addie to be 100% mine.
Mm-hmm.
I treat her like she's my own, but
mm-hmm.
I think for me, especially the moments when Addie acts out, when she's that rebellious preteen,
mm-hmm.
that's what stings me the hardest and
mm-hmm.
makes me yearn for my own even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dan and I were just talking about it. Like, Addie can be difficult
mm-hmm.
and cold sometimes
mm-hmm.
to us, or
mm-hmm.
just dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
But every Sunday when she comes in that door, her eyes light up
mm-hmm.
for Dan, and she just runs and jumps on him and hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
I get that sometimes, but I don't get it all the time.
It isn't because you're not her mother. It's because you're not her father. Ava will run to her father like there's no tomorrow. She will call him all the time when she's here. Does she call me once when she's there?
No.
But my son does. And so it isn't that it really isn't that you're not her mother. It's that you're not her father. And my mother will even say that to me. I'm the one that raised you, but your father is who you run to.
Interesting.
And so I wouldn't take it as anything that. It's just, you could have a little girl, and trust me, she's going to run right to him.
Well, that's good to hear. That makes me feel better. Because that, for me, it's like, that's one of the hardest parts, is that when Addie strong-arms me,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I want that love
right.
that is undeniable, that
mm-hmm.
bond.
And you will get it. You will get it. You know, I became close with my stepmother and my father married when I was 17. So that's a hard age when you're for her to get me at 17. But we became very close as I got older. And we're very close now. And it wasn't like that in the beginning. It wasn't like that when I was young. It wasn't like that in my 20s. It wasn't like that till I really understood who I am and who she is to me. And she's been a great help to me. And she's a wonderful woman who I love dearly. But so, I would be willing to bet if you put her mother and Dan together, she's still running to Dan because it's her dad.
Daddy's girl.
She's daddy's girl. And I get jealous when I hear Ava on the phone with her daddy at night, knowing that she's not calling me. Like today, when I dropped him off, I won't see them till Sunday. And I'm like, you know, you guys can call me while you're gone. And my son is like, Mommy, I'll call you. Ava didn't say a word. And I even asked her, and we have a missed call. I did ask her to call me when she got home from school today because she had a book report and I wanted to hear about it. So I wouldn't. It isn't that you're her stepmother. It's just that you're not her daddy. That's all it is.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I've had to, with her, it's definitely been a journey figuring out how to relate with her.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues that we have is that she treats me sometimes just as a good friend. And it's like, all right, slow your roll.
Right.
I'm an adult.
Right.
But then it's also, I try to mimic her mother with how her mom is very soft and gentle and very, talks about feelings and about emotions. And
yeah.
That's not how I
That's not me, yeah.
I'm like, you want me to give you something to cry about? Like, that kind of mom. Just like my mom.
Exactly, exactly.
So I was trying to make Addie at ease. And mimicking that, and it was just like so disjointed and awkward. So now I'm like, all right, I've just got to be me.
Yeah.
And now we joke around. Mm-hmm. Oh, Addie, do you want me to make you comfortable like me? And she's like,
well,
please stop.
And you have to remember, you're only year and a half, 2 years total, maybe with her in.
Yeah.
Your relationship's going to grow. It really will. And I, you know, I think you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
So,
I try a lot.
You are doing a good job.
I think we, for the most part, we get along. Our little family unit is, we have fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do weird stuff all the time, just little adventures.
Right.
The three of us.
And that's important because those are memories she is going to remember. And I grew up with a stepfather, and in all honesty, my favorite memories were things I did with him.
Really?
And again, he was the male. So, those were my favorite memories. So, a girl and her even stepdaddy. So, I just think it's something with girls and the dads and boys with the moms. It's just, it's kind of just how it goes. So
I should hope I have a boy.
You should. I'm telling you right now, you should. Because if you have a girl, you're going to lose her. But so I'm going to just sum it up. So, I'm going to ask you one last question.
Okay.
One I ask everyone. So, what makes you happy?
What makes me happy? What makes me happiest is, I mean, it's right now, it's like the positives of COVID. That Dan, Addie, and I have just had so many awesome adventures and exploring new silly things together.
Right.
Where everything has gone wrong, but the three of us are there and we find it hysterical.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for carving out this time, for drinking with me, for doing it in person. It is so nice to look across the room and see somebody that I'm talking to. So, again, if you please just follow Mommy's Guide to Happy Hour on Instagram and Facebook. You can catch the podcast on Spotify, Apple, and iTunes. Please tell a friend, and I hope you enjoy it. And if nothing else, I hope everyone feels better and has learned a few things from it. So, one last cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.